Well, welcome, church, to our Pandemic Perspectives series. And we're here with a beautiful perspective right now on top of Little Mountain. There's some construction going on in the sanctuary as we get ready to regather. You'll see a few little changes to help improve the experience as we record from in there moving forward. But so we got out in God's beautiful creation here where it's a little quieter, although you'll hear some noises, and going to deliver this first message of this series here. And we're just so excited to journey into this new series, as well as journeying into regathering back together over the next few weeks. We're going to be talking about our Christian COVID response plan. That is, how do we live biblically in this new world? So we've assembled six topics that will touch on important things like our home life and technology and Christian character and more. And asking, how does the Bible call us to live differently in a time of crisis? So, for example, this morning's topic is COVID and cash, money in a pandemic. And what we want to do is look at what is the Bible's perspective on how we might think about money in a time like this? How can we grow in our Christian character and live and think Christianly about money in a pandemic? And so the Millers read our text from 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 9, and 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9 in general is just a great couple chapters on generosity that you can read. But here's the situation. Believers in Jerusalem were going through some tough times financially, in regard to resources and food. So Paul is taking up a collection for those believers to take care of their needs. And in 2 Corinthians, he's asking the church in Corinth to participate in the effort. And to inspire them, he uses the example already of what the church in Macedonia has done. So I want to break down this text first and then move toward giving some examples that hopefully inspire us to rethink how money functions in a time of crisis. So first, let's talk about these three things. Number one, the source of their giving. Then we'll talk about the context of their giving, and then the motivation of their giving. So let's begin with the source of their giving, which is grace. Paul says in verse 1, "And now, brothers and sisters, we want you to know about the grace that God has given to the Macedonian churches." And what is this grace given to the Macedonian churches? Well, verse 7 tells us that it is the grace of giving. We pray for grace for a lot of things, right? We pray for, you know, grace to get through a tough situation. We ask for the grace to forgive. But when's the last time you ask God for the grace of giving? The grace to give, a supernatural gift of generosity. What would happen if God's people earnestly sought the grace of giving? Verse 3, Paul tells us this grace allowed them to give as much as they were able, even beyond their ability. It was supernatural in nature. So a spirit of generosity is a grace that we lean into, cultivate, and its source is God, which is why it is a grace and not from ourselves. We can't take credit for it. And what's especially fascinating about the Macedonian church and relevant to us in this COVID time is the context of their giving, which is hardship. So verse 2 tells us, in the midst of a very severe trial, their overflowing joy and their extreme poverty welled up in generosity. I mean, this is beautiful and inspirational that in the midst of a severe trial, hardship, which seems to include here extreme poverty, is when their joy and generosity actually overflowed. See, times of crisis and hardship reveal our character. We can either choose to kind of hold tighter and protect what we have and trust less and control more, or let go. Share the little we do have with others and trust God more. But what would motivate such extreme generosity in the midst of a severe trial and hardship and even poverty for some? Well, it seems like you know, in a way, we should have the opposite reaction during a time like that. But this is where and why a Christian response to a crisis is quite different. So the motivation for their giving, point three, is equality. The spiritual motivation for this equality finds its source in Jesus. And so in verse 9, Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." Although, you know, kind of Jesus is here and, you know, we're here, what this text says is he voluntarily came here, took on a state of poverty by becoming man, but then he lifted us up to here with him to equal standing and in his riches. You see what Jesus does? He comes down in order to then lift up. And is this is kind of the economics of the kingdom. It's a coming down to equal ground and then rising up together so that through his poverty you might become rich. And that spiritual motivation and example from Jesus, it leads here in the church to a practical motivation for their giving, which is equality among the believers. So listen to what Paul says in verses 13 through 15. He says, "Our desire is not that others might be relieved while you are hard-pressed, but that there might be equality. At the present time, your plenty will supply what they need, so that in turn, their plenty will supply what you need. The goal is equality," he says. "As it is written," and Paul here uses the example of Israel in the wilderness, "as it is written, the one who gathered much did not have too much, and the one who gathered little did not have too little." And so a biblical perspective on money in a pandemic in the church would be the radical distribution of wealth and resources among the people of God so that there would be equality among us, that no one would be left out. And that's the kingdom ideal as played out here in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, that we seek the grace of giving, even in times of hardship and scarcity, so that there might be equality, so that no one would have too much and no one would have too little. Both extravagance and scarcity are antithetical to the kingdom of God. And John the Baptist says to the crowds in Luke chapter 3, verse 11, that anyone who has two shirts should share with the one who has none, and anyone who has food should do the same. In Acts 2, verses 44 and 45, we learn that all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had a need. And then, maybe the most powerful example, Acts chapter 4, verses 33 through 35, it says, God's grace, see the grace of giving, God's grace was so powerfully at work in them that there was no needy persons among them. That was the result of his grace at work. And it says that they sold their land and brought money from the sales, put it at the apostles' feet, and they distributed to anyone who was in need. But what does this all look like to live out? Let me get into some application here and stories that hopefully will encourage and inspire us. How might living through a pandemic change our perspective on money and our other resources? How might it lead us toward the biblical, radical vision of equality? Well, here's a truth throughout history, that crisis actually brings inequality to the surface. It shines a light on it. And we see this in the Bible. I mean, the Old Testament prophets rail about this. We see it in modern times. There's lots of examples that when we come to a crisis like COVID, it has incredible financial impact and disproportionately affects the poor, those struggling, those living paycheck to paycheck. So in crisis, inequality quickly rises to the surface. And in a pandemic like this, the poor are often those who are living in close quarters and crowded neighborhoods, or who have to continue physical labor and jobs in close proximity to others because they must keep working, and they end up getting sick more than the wealthy. those who live paycheck to paycheck, you know, they can't afford to stock up on essentials like toilet paper or pasta or other bare shelf items, and so they get left out. And so crisis presents, therefore, an opportunity for the church and time to excel in the grace of giving, giving even in our own hardship and seeking equality among the believers, a situation where no one has too much and no one has too little, but we all share our need in community. And some of the church fathers go as far to say that as Christians, if I have two coats and my brother or sister has none, I am actually stealing from them by keeping the two, because technically it belongs to all of us. And I'm proud to say so many in our congregation have displayed this Christian generosity, this equality, this sharing, and more during this time, taking care of each other. Let me just give a few examples from people in our congregation that I know of. There was someone in our congregation who couldn't afford or wasn't able to watch the online services because they didn't have a device. And somebody else in the congregation bought them an iPhone so that they could stay engaged in the church and watch the services online. Several people in our congregation have been regularly looking in on some of the elderly and homebound people in our church, providing meals for them and connecting them with community resources and calling or texting them daily and making sure they are taken care of. Some have consistently went out and bought groceries for families who need it. I know several in the church who have been driving around and delivering extra eggs from their farm to different families in the church. One person had extra harvest in their garden but didn't have the time to distribute it, so somebody from the church went over there and harvested it for them and then distributed it among people in the church. Some have been doing work for people in their homes and RVs and trailers as they couldn't afford it at this time or couldn't get someone to come out and fix it. One family has provided a room to stay for a healthcare worker who has been working extreme hours and crazy shifts and needed a place to stay. When we put a call out, quite a few people went out and bought extra groceries and food with their own money to anonymously help some families in need in our church. One life group helped one of their members get their business ready to reopen by sanitizing their shop and helping them to install new equipment that they needed to relaunch. One life group did a massive grocery shop for someone in the church who returned from out of country and had to self-isolate. Some who were rich in their time gave of their time to others. So some families in our church took kids of another family because that family had to work or they were in the midst of a move. Some came into the church last week and sanitized the entire church and all the carpets and deep cleaned the entire building to get it ready to bless God's people. As a church, as you may know, we've provided through your giving over $4,000 worth of grocery gift cards to families in need in the congregation. We also bought $2,500 of food for our local food bank to take care of families in need. So that's $6,500 of meeting needs based on your generosity. Overall this year, we've given just under $10,000 through our care fund that has just went out to bless and take care of families in need. And through our partnership and connection with Arrington Elementary, we provided full Easter dinner for 9 families in need in our community and turkey trays for 55 families. And these are just the stories I know of or remember hearing among our congregation. And here's one thing that just really stands out to me or that we take away from this. We can't or couldn't take care of each other in crisis if we were not in community with each other. That we can't take care of others' needs if we don't know their needs. That's why regathering together is so important, because we don't want to lose touch on what's going on in each other's lives. So we've been taking care of one another. But that call extends even beyond our church body to our brothers and sisters around the world and around the globe. And the truth is, even as many of us have fallen on hard times and we've hopefully taken care of each other, The reality is, for most of us in this pandemic, its lockdown and economic impact, we've been able to maintain still our standard of living. But in poorer countries, the impact has been devastating because the poor can't survive in a lockdown. And so in countries such as, you know, India, the food supply to rural villages or urban slums has basically been cut off. And in countries around the globe, there is a serious worldwide food crisis right now due to the impact of COVID-19. And sometimes it's strict lockdown policies in some of these countries. I have a friend in Kuwait who I was just video chatting with last week, and he said that they are in lockdown 22 hours a day since March 1st. They're only allowed outside for 2 hours during the day. And he said that even some of those who were previously wealthy, even some of the Americans living in Kuwait, have had to go to the Saudi border to get food tossed over or passed through the wall because the food shortage is so severe. And so we, even in the midst of our own hardship here, we should be welling up in rich generosity toward our brothers and sisters around the world. This is how Christians respond to a pandemic crisis, by giving more, not less, even amidst their own hardship. I mean, it's kind of the opposite reaction of what seems logical. But I mean, if alcohol sales are up 50% in response to this crisis, why can't giving be up 50% among Christians in this crisis? I mean, what a great witness to the world that would be. Crisis reveals our character. And when it comes to money, we're faced with, do we hold on to our money tighter because of the unknowns? Or do we respond with even greater generosity and faith in God? So I want to close just by giving you a personal story so you don't think I'm just kind of preaching this from a high tower, although I am on top of Little Mountain. I want you to know we've wrestled with this deeply in our own family and prayed about it. And Hannah and I aren't rich by any means. We don't like make a lot of money, as you know, but we've been fortunate to keep our jobs in full-time employment and continue to, you know, have food in our home and do what we need to do. So we started praying about what we could do or should do during this time where so many others are suffering. And so we had a little bit of money put away, and then we also received some extra benefits, government benefits, during this time. And honestly, the temptation was to store that extra money away, to kind of protect it and pad some savings because of the unknowns of the world and the economy. And so, of course, people all around us and experts were telling us to do this, you know, kind of save up and be careful and save and protect. But to make a long story short, we decided to empty most of our savings during this time, to let go rather than to hold on, to be like the Macedonian church and pursue the grace of giving even in the midst of hardship. And so we decided to give away $6,000 toward the food crises around the globe as a way to lean into the grace of giving, to lean into our core value as a church of radical generosity. And part of that core value is that as imitators of Christ, we're to live like we're poor, so that we can give like we're rich. To come down in our standard of living, just as Christ came down to us, so that the standard of living of others might come up, just as Christ made us rich. This is a grace that we want our church to lean into, and we are. And it's inspiring through the grace of God as a church, we've actually thrived during this time financially as a church because of the generosity of God's people. And I can tell you almost for fact that if we were not faithful as a church in practicing generosity, showing faith even in the midst of trials and unknowns, we would not be launching 3 services in July. I mean, we'd be forced to play it safe, to kind of protect, to kind of lay low and see what happens, lay off staff and kind of just wait. But because you've remained generous, and I know so many of you have given above and beyond your normal giving during this time, because of that, we're able to be creative and dream big about regathering the church and reaching our community and continuing to be a light and a blessing to the Oceanside area. And we're going to be running, you know, four different services that are almost like church plants. And we couldn't do it without you having the vision of the importance of the worshiping community and the local community. So four services requires, you know, four different spaces and different materials and technologies and equipment and staff to make all this possible. But we're trusting the Lord and stepping out in faith and leaning into the grace of giving. So my prayer for COVID is that we would lean into this biblical perspective on living in crisis, that it's actually a time to give more, not less, like the Macedonian church. What if the result of COVID-19 is that we become more generous people in the long run, not less? What if the result was that we become less tied to our money and possessions than ever before, trusting God to provide and to be more attentive and caring for the needs of others? That's my hope and that's my prayer. So let's surrender ourselves to God through this song, and then Lydia will close with a benediction.